Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
It's my privilege to introduce my friend Andy Hogarth, Reverend Andy Hogarth from the Journey Uniting Church, which is way up, apparently there's suburbs past North Terrace, at Golden Grove. And Andy's been the senior pastor there for 11 or 12 years, 13 years. And he and I were at college together, shared a lot of things together. I remember once we shared a coffee tea bag. That's how a coffee bag. We were students and we were got the most out of it. We did.
For 3 weeks.
Sucked the marrow, didn't we? It was good stuff. So Andy was on staff here as youth pastor for 5 years. From 1999 to 2004, and we thought it'd be great to have Andy back and come and preach to us and bring the word. So he's done well this morning, and we're excited to hear what he's got to say tonight. So bless you, Andy. Thank you. Maybe a round of applause would be appropriate.
Thanks, everybody. Great to see you all here tonight, and really excited about night service. I always love a night service, and so it's good. It's good. Well, tonight I want to talk about order and freedom. I want to talk about these two things that make church work and make our faith in Christ work together and individually. Okay? And the big idea is this, that without order, you can't have freedom. But without freedom, the order's going to get stuck, okay? That's sort of the basic idea. And if you're not a believer here tonight, or you're just sort of checking out church and that sort of thing, this is from a letter that was written by a guy called Paul, who was one of the apostles, one of the first leaders of the church, and he was writing it to the church. And I think even if you don't want to lean in yet on the whole faith aspect, I think there's going to be some aspects about some general things about leadership in life and those sort of things that are going to be helpful to you. But for those who are believers as well, I want to encourage you to lean into this, because I sense that for a lot of believers, we're hungering for something more, and we should be. We should be. You know, there's always more. How many people know there's more to life? There's more to the kingdom of God. There's more that God wants to show you. There's more that God wants to open up for your life. Doesn't matter how old or young you are, there is always something more, something new, this unfolding mystery, this unfolding beauty of a life in Christ and what he wants to do. And so with that, it helps us to understand some of how God wants us to experience that, and particularly to experience that in this strange, mysterious place called church. Church. This strange, mysterious place called church. The best of our life, the biggest struggles, the biggest joys, the biggest hassles, the biggest, all those things happen in community. There's people preparing for marriage, and isn't that lovely to be preparing for marriage? But how many married people know that really you get to this point where you understand that actually you wake up and you're looking at each other and you go, okay, this is the rest of our life here. There's no makeup on, there's nothing like that. And who is actually doing the dishes tonight? But that's marriage. You can prepare all you like, and that's really important. But then there's this point of marriage. The honeymoon's over, you're getting into your life together, you're working that out, and you work it out in community. How many people who have had kids realize that there's only one way to learn how to have kids? If someone had really explained to you what having kids is like, if they put that down on a piece of paper, you'd never do it, because you haven't experienced it, and it's scary. It just sounds like a whole heap of poo and vomit and all that sort of stuff. But when people have got kids, you realize there's this joy and this love and that sort of thing. Similarly with church. With church, we come to Christ. We join a local fellowship. We enjoy it. We love the songs. We start to serve. We start to minister. And then you realize, well, actually, that person in that meeting was actually really annoying. I didn't really agree with that bit that they said. Is the lighting right? You know, the music, was it too loud, too soft, too indifferent? Things start happening. How do you learn how to do church? You've got to be in church to allow. You can read a lot of books about people who've got all sorts of opinions about church and what it should be or what it shouldn't be. Some people have experienced incredible pain in church. Some people have experienced incredible joy in church. But what we understand is that you can't be a Christian unless you're part of a local church. Some people try, but it all gets a bit weird. Church. This is how we understand who we are in Christ. This is the only way. And fortunately, we've got a way of understanding that. We've got a way of understanding that, and an objective and subjective way of navigating through all those things, including this thing of church, of Christian community, through the Bible. So I'm going to have a look at 1 Corinthians 12:27 to 29. Okay, so if you've got a Bible with you, or got your Bible app or whatever, have a look at that. There's no slides on the screen or anything like that. We're freewheeling it tonight, no. So I'm reading from, I think it's the Amplified Bible, but it's kind of all the, there's not a lot of variations on this. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 29. This is what I'm going to speak on. It says this, now you... Just turn to the person next to you and say, yes, you. Okay, excellent. You are Christ's body, and individually, you are members of it, each with its own special purpose and function. So God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use, first apostles, chosen by Christ, second prophets, those who foretell the future and those who speak a new message from God to the people, third teachers. We're going to talk a bit about that. It's the only time that Paul the Apostle, when he's talking about gifts and leadership and that sort of thing, puts numerical order on something. The only time. Whenever you see something different like that, you take note of it in the scripture. And then he goes, then those who work miracles, then those with gifts of healing, the helpers, the administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? The answer is no, not everyone's that. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here's the thing about church. The first thing is this. Now you are Christ's body. And individually, you are members of it. That is so crucial to understand right now. You are Christ's body. You are a part of Christ. Your identity, your beginning and your end is now in Christ. In Christ. Physically, we understand that. Physically, we understand. Anyone who's tried to have a transplant of some sort, be it a kidney or a... What else do you transplant? Chris, help me out here. Well, what else do we transplant? Liver, brain, whatever. It's very tricky. Why? Because of DNA. Because of the cruciality of that match. They try and get someone who matches very close, and even then it's dicey. And those who've gone through that understand that it's a big thing. Because that part of that body belongs to that body. It's embedded in the DNA, if it had its understanding, if the kidney could speak to itself, it'd say, hey, kidney, you belong here in this body. Why are they taking you out and putting you in another body? That's the whole risk of transplant. Okay, that's the whole risk of transplant. That's the miracle of some of the medical breakthroughs that are happening now as people are able to get that DNA and actually grow someone's own. You know, it's amazing what's happening. But it's about the DNA. That kidney belongs in that body, and it's going to struggle to survive in any other body. In any other body. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. You are part of Christ's body. You belong to Jesus. There's something he's done in his life and death and resurrection and his ascension that's opened up your life and my life to enter into him. Not just pie in the sky when you die, not just some disembodied spirit, but now us, body, mind, soul, and spirit, we are part of Christ. You're all members. You're all members of that body. You're all a part of that body. You belong. I feel like there's someone here tonight and you've got to hear this word that you belong in the body of Christ, and there's no shame, no pain, no guilt, no nothing you can do that can separate you from that body. There's people in the church who feel like, I don't really belong here. I've got too many tattoos, or I've got too much of a past, or I look good on the outside, but inside I've got so much anger and pain and shame. And if you really knew who I was, well, the fact is God does know. And he has declared you not guilty. He has declared you clean. He has declared you acceptable. He has declared you welcomed. He has declared you an irrevocable part of his body. Can you hear that tonight? Romans 8 says, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. What is he saying? He's saying that there is nothing that can separate us from the body of Christ. That's the heart of it. That's the heart of what the church is. That's the profound mystery of it. That's the power of it. And we are members of that body. And so when someone comes, when a new person comes, when we are in our day-to-day life and we ask someone to come to church, did you know 63% of people who have nothing to do with church have said this: I would go to church if someone asked me. 63%. 6.3 people out of 10. You can work out who the 0.3 is. In your life right now who do not go to church, say, I would go to church next week if someone asked me. What are they saying? They don't know exactly what they're saying. They don't know why they're saying it, but there is something within the human spirit that longs to be home with God and with his people. And when you invite someone, you are opening up for a glorious, not just a transplant, but a glorious emergence of a new person in the body of Christ through Jesus' name. That's the power of the body of Christ. That's the context of the body of Christ. If you receive one thing tonight, understand that you are part of the body of Christ. You belong, and you belong to each other. And so accept one another in love. All those things flow out of that identity in God. So how does this work? How does this function? Right now I'm speaking, I'm moving, my hands are moving, I'm thinking what I'm going to say next, I'm thinking about how you're receiving this message, you're thinking about maybe when this is all going to end, you're thinking about what I'm saying, a whole heap of things are going. Where is all that happening? That's happening in our brain. Our neurons physically are going 100 miles an hour. You're taking it in now. You're thinking, I'm looking in your eyes, you're looking at mine, you're taking this in, I'm taking you in. All that is happening, and it's happening from this place here. There's a head, and from that head and the neurons flows all the messages, okay? There's a head of a body. Lose your head, doesn't end well. The most painful diseases are diseases of the brain, of the neurons. Those who have family members who have gone through that, it's a terrible thing. You feel like it's a different person. Why? Because their neurons have changed. Something's happened. Something's severed that normal capacity. We understand that medically, but it can happen spiritually. if we lose what our sense of the head is. You can see whole churches, sadly, that have become very controlling or very destructive. What there's a commonality to them. It's like they lose their head. They lose their head. They lose their sense of purpose, what they're about, where all their life flows from. Similarly, with the spiritual body, Paul is pointing us back to the head. To the head of the church and what flows from that head. And this is so important to understand. And it's very important, I believe, to understand at this point in our time and history, this point of this church. Building renovations are not the only thing that's been renovated here. It's all part. Nothing's just physical. Nothing's just spiritual. It's all that. This is part of God's purpose. This is part, as I was saying this morning, there's not going to be just three services in a Sunday. There's going to come a day where there's four, five, six, seven. There's going to be movement. There's going to be change. There's going to be more extensions at some point. There's going to be church plants. There's going to be things that God has purposed for this church, for this congregation, as part of the wider church, for God to do. We don't know exactly what that looks like all the time, but there's movement. Why? Because a healthy body moves. A healthy body changes. It changes its skin. You change your skin every, I don't know what it is, a few months or whatever. Bits of skin come off. It sounds gross, but it's happening all the time, apparently. Okay? You've got to keep moving in your body. In aged care, our key thing is to keep people moving. If you keep people moving, they keep their health is better. Similarly with a body connected to its head keeps moving, but it's got to keep moving in the right direction, because there is a body that moves without a head. It's called a chook, with its head cut off. Those who are old enough or have grown up in the farm, you have seen this. Some of you city people, including my kids who are at home, they go, that sounds gross. Oh, it is kind of gross. I don't know. We just chopped the chook's head off and then ate it. I mean, I don't know. But you chop a chook's head off, it will keep running for several minutes. Hilarious, fun times for farm kids. Totally gross for everyone else. I'm sorry about that. Some churches can be like that. Some Christians can be like that. Lots of activity, lots of movement. Everything's happening. We're never slowing down, but you've lost connection with the head. It's not the signs of new life. It's the death throes of the inevitable. You've got to keep connected with the head. So how does God do this? Well, here's what it says in verse 28. God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use first apostles chosen by Christ. Now, Paul's talking about two things. There's capital A, apostles, that is the apostles ordained by Christ himself and Paul himself who wrote the New Testament. Capital A, apostles, cannot be repeated, that's it. But I want to suggest to you that just as in Ephesians 4, for those who know their Bible, it talks about apostles, that there are small A apostles. What am I talking about? That in churches that are alive, that are going somewhere, they have people who have an apostolic ministry. That is, they hold fast to the New Testament and what the capital A apostles taught. They also have an overarching vision and fruitfulness, not just for one church, but for multiple churches. This can happen in a person's life for their whole life. This can happen for a season of their life. But what we see in the pattern of Scripture is that there is an apostolic gift that is given to the whole church. And so individual members, part of congregations that are part of larger movements, have apostolic figures who speak into and give leadership to those churches. Now, generally, I find these people are generally fairly humble people. And sometimes if you go on the internet and you go, Google apostle something, you'll come up with someone who calls Apostle Bob or Apostle Brian or Apostle this. Generally, they're nutters. Okay? Generally, the people who are calling themselves apostles are not apostles. There's some movements that's just how they call themselves and for whatever. But in most cases, the apostles don't call themselves apostles. It's just that they are people and they are generally individuals with an extraordinary leadership gift that have an oversight over the culture and the tone and the shaping and the planting and the development of leaders, and they're raised up at a particular time in a particular season, sometimes lifelong, sometimes in a point. But the key point is this: you got to know who they are. If you don't, even if you don't know who they are, know the movement that you're part of. Know what the tone of that church is. They're not the bishop, they're not a pope or anything like that, but they are people with an extraordinary breadth of influence and gifting that helps launch the church forward but also keep it on track. There are names of leaders, like in the GLS, I would say someone like Bill Hybels, who launched the GLS, he's got that sort of gifting. He's had extraordinary influence across a whole heap of leaders. He's a person who, even on a national level, international level, he's looked to. He's got a lot of wisdom. He has a lot of people who lean into the collective wisdom of him. There's other people, people like Brian Houston or Rick Warren, and these sort of people are extraordinary apostolic people. They're the last to call themselves that, but I would say that they are those sort of people. I think as individual members of the church in the body, we need to understand what we're leaning into and who those people are. There are people who have stayed the course of ministry. They have a breadth beyond their congregation. They have a teaching and a leadership that seems to be biblical and balanced, and they're people, they're go-to people for our key pastors and leaders. That's the first thing that Jesus will do. And when people go out on their own, when people start to ignore the wise advice of apostolic ministry, you can be sure that there's a chook without its head running around there somewhere. The latest thought bubble, the latest blog, the latest podcast is not necessarily an apostolic thing. Here's a question I would always ask: how is what this person is teaching or leading working out in week to week, multi-generational local church ministry? Ask yourself that question. You might go to a conference, you might hear someone, you might come across something and go, wow, this is so inspirational. Take the inspiration, but don't necessarily base your life on it, because apostolic ministry comes first. And apostolic ministry understands what church looks like, feels like, sounds like, shapes like across multiple generations over multiple years. It lasts time, it lasts the integrity of those things. Who are those people? Look for the quality of people. And as an individual believer, it's your responsibility to do that. It's your responsibility to do that. As a leader of a connect group, of a small group, as an elder, as a pastor, it's our responsibility to make sure that what we're doing fits into a sense of the apostolic and what that is. The second one that it brings is prophets. Prophets, second prophets. Now, we're not talking about Elijah, Deborah, capital P prophets here. We're talking about small p prophets, people who have a gift of, in some cases, foretelling the future, but in most cases, forth-telling the word of God. People who have a particularly word in season, people who understand the times and what to do. And these people work very closely with apostolic ministry. Some people have had prophetic ministries, but they've divorced themselves from the apostolic, from the wise week-to-week understanding of what the wider church should do, and they go a bit loopy, okay? Avoid the loopy, okay? But they are prophetic people who have an understanding of the times and what needs to happen. They have a proven capacity. They understand the scriptures. They're not just coming with a voice in their head or just a dream or just they understand the whole counsel of scripture, but bring a word in season at a particular time. Who are those people? Every congregation should, I find that every healthy congregation within its eldership, church council and its staff or its key preachers and leaders will generally have someone, a few people who had that prophetic capacity to bring that word of God. Sometimes it happens through the senior pastor, sometimes it'll be someone else, sometimes it'll be through an eldership, but it always happens. Every movement has those prophets, those prophetic type people. They're not just, they're generally, it's not just having an intercessory gift or a word of knowledge, it's actually prophetic preaching and teaching of the whole counsel of God, but the word of season in time. Who are those people? Who are those people? The third group that he says, number three, is the teachers. Prophets bring a word in season. Teachers tend to synthesize the whole flow of the scripture. Okay, prophets preach into a moment. Teachers tend to teach over a period of time. Most pastors lean towards being more prophetic or being more teaching. Some do a bit of both. But it's understanding that, number one, is the apostolic, understanding what movement you're part of, understanding the essentials of that and who those key people are. Secondly, is to lean in to this prophetic word in season and this teaching that puts it all together, okay? Every 3 to 5, possibly 10 years in a believer's life, that model is tested. Every 10, 5 to 10 years in a church's life, in an individual believer's life, that model is tested. Why? Because life doesn't stay the same. Things change. Some people change churches. They move. Lots of things happen. The Holy Spirit brings a fresh breath. And we have to understand again what our movement is, what the word in season is, and what good teaching is. And those three things in that order will keep us on track. Those three things in order create the framework for everything else to happen. Generally, I find this. I find that some people want to run a tighter ship. They want everything under control. They want to have so many checks and balances. And some personalities work like this too, don't they? There's personalities that want to dot every I, cross every T. How many people are married to someone who likes to dot every I and cross every T? They're great. How many? Oh, no one? Okay. You're all a bit quiet tonight. They're great people to go on a trip with because they plan the trip, okay? And you know where you're going. You don't have to worry. There's other people who are a little bit, let's say, in the moment. How many people are married to someone who's in the moment? Yep. It's fantastic. Great fun at parties. They're great to do a trip with because you're travelling along and you kind of got the plan and they go, that looks awesome. Let's just pull over there. No, no, come on, come on, come on, come on. And you pull over there and it's fantastic and it's kind of really cool. Or if it's really bad, they go, oh, no, it's boring, let's move on. They're people who understand the time and what to do. They just have an intuition toward those sort of things. That's how personalities work. Those types of people often marry each other, which is a mystery. But there we go. Similarly, some church movements are much more dot the I, cross the T. My father was a Presbyterian. Presbyterians cross the T, dot the I. My mother was an Anglican, which you would have thought was cross the I, dot the T, but her personality led much more this way. So any whiff of freedom, you know, she was there and they met. There's churches like the Pentecostal movement, much more in the moment. Where would you sit? Where do you sit? Where do you feel most comfortable? It's good to know where you feel comfortable in that. That's a good way of understanding what pushes your buttons and what doesn't. Because often someone's here and they go, oh, these people are so rigid, so... You know what these people are going? That person's a whack job. They're crazy. There's just too much, you know. Anyone want to be a pastor? Because that is hitting the pastor every day of the week. Let me tell you something. 50% of people in every congregation want more biblical preaching and teaching, because biblical preaching and teaching is what makes for a good church. And the other 50% of people want more worship and just praise and let's just let this thing flow. And both of them think they're absolutely right. And the truth is, you got to be in the moment and grab that moment of worship and praise and whatever God's blowing through the place by His Spirit. And you got to be grounded in Scripture and in the preaching and teaching of the Word. And over 6 months, 12 months, 10 years, 20 years, a healthy Christian, a healthy church has got both of those things going. Not trying to balance or cancel each other, but two streams flowing real powerful. Second, it's prophets, because you can't build a fireplace without a fire. But third, it's teachers, because if you don't have a fireplace and you just got a fire burning, it's going to wreck the place, okay? This is church. Understand two things. One is where your preference is. Spiritual maturity is understanding where my preference is. Understanding it beyond just my personality or my background, because I'm Baptist, therefore, I mean, I'm not sure what that necessarily leads to. Get 20 Baptists in a room, you've got 22 opinions, you know. It's like United Church, whatever your thing is, be aware of that. Be aware of that. But the healthy church, a healthy life, is believers who understand they are part of the body of Christ, they are part of a greater movement, they understand what the shape of that is, what the shape of their church is, what their DNA of their church is, what the values of their church is. The seeds is part of a bigger network of the United Church. But within that wider United Church, there's another network of like-minded churches, the journey and seeds of like-minded churches. But each church, each congregation within itself has a DNA, has values and that sort of thing. And a lot of people want to dip into a local church because they like the kids' ministry or they like the songs or whatever, but you'll only mature when you really dip into the values and the vision, when you really lean. You're not going to grow unless you're giving to the building program, unless you're giving financially into the church. What? You can't say that. Yes, I can, because Jesus said that. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, and where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. And if your treasure is sitting in your bank, then that's where your heart is. If you're giving some of your treasure to the local church, then that's where your heart is. If you're giving all your money to McDonald's, then that's where your heart is. Believe me, money and heart flow together. And a lot of people want the good times, but they don't want to give their heart. Friends, church is about giving your heart. That's the apostolic call. That's healthy church. And then once our heart is there, once we're assured of where we belong, what we're doing and why we're here, then we're open to what the prophets are saying by the Holy Spirit in the moment. And we're aware of what the teaching and the preaching and the sound doctrine is of that church. And that's how you grow and mature as a Christian. Or you could just do your own thing. A lot of people are. No one's going to stop you. But here's what I've seen with people doing their own thing. Not one of them grow. There might be some good times, but not one of them grow. I've been in church for 47 years. I've seen 47 years of movements, of churches, of reactions and local churches and that sort of thing. And I've come to a point where there's values and attitudes that I think seem good at the time, but I just haven't seen any good come from that. Ask yourself, what good has really come of or? Don't be convinced by an argument, be convinced by the fruit of it. You don't have to become judge and jury. You just watch what happens. You know, man, I think we just, you know, we just got to, we don't need to go to church. We can just sort of hang out, isn't? I had some friends who just decided that, you know, having a bottle of port and some bread and just hanging out whenever they wanted to, you know, down at the surf or whatever, that's church, man. I think that's what they were saying. I don't think that's what they really meant. I think what they meant was we want to just do it on our own terms. Not one of them is where they want to be with their faith. Why? Because I've asked them and all of them have said, I'm not where I should be or want to be. Folks, I'm just painting a picture of church. I'm just painting a picture of church. And I don't know why God's actually laid this on my heart tonight, but I do sense that night services can tend to become a service of convenience. Believers who come to church and, you know, they want to dip in a bit or dip out a bit. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case, but I want to encourage you, challenge you maybe. Where's your heart? Are you living according to the order and the pattern of the Christian life? Or is it kind of, is it? A few questions. Who have you got in mind that you're going to invite to church next, who's not part of church? If you can't answer that question, then do you really understand the DNA of church? The DNA, the reason why this church exists? If you're a person who has been a Christian for a long time and never gives very much intentionally, financially to the church, and I can say this because I'm not on the payroll here, what's going on? If you're a person who always bristles any time someone asks you to serve, what's going on? What's going on? Has it got a bit heavy and quiet in the room? I don't know. But folks, the church is the apostolic church. You are the body of Christ. There's no plan B. You're it. Your time, your treasures, your finances, your mind and heart given to Jesus Christ and this movement, this time. This church isn't here by accident. It's given because in God's mystery, someone planted it, someone started it, and now he's given the prophetic, the move of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of Scripture so that you'll be built up. Why? So that the world may know that Christ is who he is, so that disciples may be made, so that the miracles, the teaching, the building up, the helps, the administrative, all those things can work together. Who are those people? Helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. That's you. That's me. All those things are happening. Different kinds of tongues. It might be praying in a prayer language. It could be a range of things. But it's you and it's me. It's leaning in. It's leaning in. It's giving your heart to something. Just to ask the band to come up. I just want to invite you tonight. To ask yourself this. What do I need to hear from God? What's a spontaneous move of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time there was that I felt or leaned into a spontaneous move of the Holy Spirit in my life? When was the last time I went out of my comfort zone to do something for God or for people? When was the last time I just walked across the room to welcome a stranger? When was that? That prophetic sense. When was the last time I did that? Some of us can answer that question really quickly. Some of us, Then for some of us, when was the last time you read your Bible daily or regularly? When was the last time you really leaned into the preaching, not the latest podcast, but the preaching that came from here? When was the last time you took notes, either mentally or physically, really leaned in and really meditated on that scripture, on that word, on that teaching? When was the last time? Or has it become just sermon after sermon and When was the last time? When was the last time in worship you just from the get-go went, boom, and just in faith accepted, this is my time to worship my God. Irrespective of whatever's happened, irrespective of what week I've had. And look, if you've been a Christian for 2 minutes, okay, that's okay. We're working it through. But if you've been a Christian for more than 3 months, I think we can all do this. It's an act of faith. It's stepping into it and being prepared, ready to go, ready to take hold of whatever's coming at us from the music. Some songs we get into more than other. It doesn't matter. It's all offered to God. Just worship. When was that last time you just gave wholehearted, full-throated worship to God? When was the last time? When was the last time you really dipped into something deep and something rich and something great? Maybe the GLS that's coming up, you know, there's going to be a whole range of teachers and preachers and speakers from business right through, but there's going to be Christian preachers as well. And when was the last time you positioned yourself that you're really leaning into some teaching and wisdom beyond what you normally do? These are the questions. These are the things that we're set up for, because you are the body of Christ. And when we do that, everything else will flow, because within you is the Spirit of God. Within you is a gift. Within you is something to offer. Within you is the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's worked out in practical ways. Within you is a hand to reach out. Within you is a gift to give. Within you is a prayer to offer. Within you, and you individually, but you together, there's something that God wants to do, and He wants to stir up that gift. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you just sort of rocked up, or it was you're here because of God's hand and God's purpose in your life, and He's got a plan and purpose for you, and He's got a plan and purpose here. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me, Lord Jesus? I just want to invite you now just to offer yourself to Christ, to His apostolic gifting of this church, to all that's prophetic and beautiful and worshipful and spontaneous and miraculous, to all that is taught and learnt and understood. And would you offer yourself to that? Christ is all that. And just offer yourself. You might want to open up your hands if you feel comfortable, or just lift them up where you are, just as a sign of, it's a universal sign of surrender. And it just says, Jesus, I accept I'm part of your body. I accept I belong to you. I accept that you have called me to be here in this body, in this church, in this movement, in this time. And Lord, I'm sorry if I've been anything other than that, but I give myself to you. I give myself to all that your Holy Spirit wants to bring prophetically, all that you want to bring through the teaching and the Bible. I want to step into the great yes that is God, so that all those gifts may flow. And I pray, God, that you would just use me in whatever way you want, in the practical things, in the miraculous things, in the prayerful things, in the helpful things. Use me for a greater future. Lord, I'm saying it's not about me anymore. I'm saying it's about you, it's about others, it's about the kingdom and the growth of your church. Lord, use me, help me, in Jesus' name. Take a moment. The band's going to lead us in some worship, and I just want to encourage you, lean into Jesus. Just worship Him and let Him do what He wants to do tonight.